Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome into Gwen and Chris, minus the Chris today. Chris, with an off day today. It's Scraby and I with you for a short little while. Coming off of what is history. What was history in yesterday's affair? Dylan Cease throws the Padres' second no-hitter, was dominant once again. And, I mean, I said this, Scrabe, I've really said it a couple times today, having done a couple different radio hits today. I mean, he had thrown the ball good enough in the last 3 starts for that result that he got yesterday. But he had some luck on his side. He was brilliant. And, yeah, man, it was pretty cool to experience live and in person.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome to see. And like we said yesterday, you guys weren't even there for the first one, so it's nice that you got to see the second one. I saw the that Joe Musgrove put on Instagram a bus celebration. I'm not sure which bus you were on, but it seems like the guys are having a real good time with this.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think, you know, it's one of those weird things. You're on the bus, and, you know, you guys, they're always watching you know, MLB Network and those shows. Those shows are always going on the bus. But, I mean, how often is it that somebody on your team just threw a no-hitter? And so you get to celebrate it again. And that looked like what they were doing, having a good time. And as they should, they're playing good baseball. They're coming off of sweep. I mean, the most important part of all of that is the win. And so the Padres have come out like everybody had hoped they would to start the second half. Now, a really good matchup and really intriguing matchup this weekend. We watched Baltimore come into town last year, and we saw how good they were at Petco. So This should be a good series between two teams that one's playing pretty good. Baltimore coming off of losing 2 of 3 to Miami Marlins. So we'll see how they come out and play.
Yeah, there's a couple other storylines, I guess, for this Orioles series. Manny Machado going back to Baltimore. I'm not sure if he's been back since, but since he left, and then you have Jackson Merrill playing in front of his family and friends. And how awesome is that for him?
I mean, it's gone well for Jackson.
It really has.
In front of family and friends. So, you know, and maybe they can travel, find a way to travel the rest of the way. I don't know if Jackson would want having everybody with him for the rest of the time. But certainly he has performed very well with his family in the building. And, you know, I think ideally that's how every player would want it. They'd want to be able to perform best when their family was around. And Jackson has not disappointed. He's just, again, I think the best compliment you can give him is he's so steady. You don't even think about him in the lineup because you know what you're getting from him.
Yeah, Chris was talking yesterday too about during the no-hitter, he got that ball that Bogey like kind of fumbled into the air and he caught it. And the reason that he was there is because he was backing up Bogey, which is just like one of those small things that a major league outfielder has to do. And he's doing it as a rookie. It's crazy.
He was always a smart baseball player. You know, that's just a smart baseball play. That doesn't take athleticism. That just takes you being where you're supposed to be. Now then maybe the hand eye when he has to snatch it out of the air on the move, but nonetheless, you know, does it surprise you that Jackson was where he shouldn't?
No.
He seems to be where he's supposed to be most of the time, if not all the time. And so, the Padres, you know, going back to Dylan Cease, man, he has really turned it on these last three games. And quite frankly, the Padres have needed him, you know, with the big guys out. The four really have started this second half really, really well. And so if you keep getting pitching performances like this, Padres are going to have a chance to keep winning some games.
Now, I know there's a lot more season left for Jackson Merrill and Paul Skenes in the Rookie of the Year award, but on the Scraby Show last night, I was very adamant that I think that Jackson Merrill is actually the Rookie of the Year. I'm not joking. To this point, he is, because Paul Skenes is great. He goes deep into games. He strikes out a ton of guys. But Jackson Merrill does it every single day, and I don't know how much more you would need from him to have him jump over Paul Skenes for Rookie of the Year. It's not even a question to me, just based purely on the fact that he does this every day and Paul Skenes does it every 5 days. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a good argument, unfortunately.
Okay, you know, tell me why, sir.
I think Jackson should be, you know, the MVP. He should be, not the MVP, I think he should be in the running for
Rookie of the Year.
I do. He's earned that right. He does play every day. I think that should be factored in. But, I mean, Paul Skenes is like, if he qualified, would be like at the top of the leaderboard of all of baseball, not just rookies. Like, he would have the lowest ERA. He's already punching people out at a crazy rate. So, I mean, it's just different, I think.
As a pitcher to be dominant like that is a lot tougher at a younger age because you've never faced major league hitters, and those major league hitters know they have tricks up their sleeve.
I don't know about them having tricks.
They
up
do.
Their sleeve,
it just comes out their sleeve. Trick.
I don't know about that, but Jackson's doing a heck of a job. He's right there in the running. Paul Skenes could have a bad outing, and we're having a couple bad outings. We're having a different conversation. There's a lot of season left.
There is. There's totally a lot of season left. There's almost 2 months of season left. So tonight, Adam Major is going to start for the Padres, and I don't like being mean to Adam Major. It doesn't seem like he's a guy who should be starting tonight. The Padres just may not have a better option. What say you?
I don't like being mean to him, but what is that?
Well, I don't want to come on here and say...
I don't like being mean to him. I mean...
I don't want to come on here and say, Adam Major stinks. He shouldn't be anywhere near a major league mound. I don't want to be that guy.
It sounds like you are being that guy.
not even close.
I think ultimately he gets another opportunity. The Padres don't have much of a choice right now. You know, I think this is, they feel like the best option they have down in AAA or down wherever. I think Major's coming from AAA. So, you know, I think it's just another opportunity for him to prove himself. I mean, this is what has been happening in different parts of the season for different people. Now it's Major's turn. He's had a couple bad ones that, you know, I think you hope that he's learned from, but I don't think the Padres have much of a choice. So you go out there and see what Major gets you.
I am personally cheering for him to do well. I'm not like
good. You should be, because you want the Padres to win ultimately.
Yes,
so,
I do.
You know, that would be the right strategy. We will have Dylan Cease on the show here coming up here shortly, coming off the no-hitter. I'm sure he's done a lot of press today, so we will try to keep it tidy for him.
Yes.
But it was still nonetheless pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie, when Abrams hit that last one, my initial thought was, oh man, this ball's gonna fall. But then I saw Johnson kind of his body language, it's like circling, like I got it.
Yeah.
And then I saw Dylan already jumping up before the ball had actually been caught. So I was like, oh, okay, so he feels comfortable.
Were you able to listen? I don't know if you were, but Sammy Lev's interview with him after the game, in the post game?
No.
He asked him, like, what did you do when you – he was like, I let out this primal scream, and I yelled, yes, yes, like 50 times, which is hilarious to me because he seems like a pretty, like – calmed guy, but I mean, obviously this is a big moment for him. He's pitched,
yeah,
I think,
man,
in six or seven games where he's gone at least seven innings without a hit or giving up a hit. So he's been close so many times, and of course the Luis Arraez one from a couple years ago.
How funny was that? I mean, I don't know. In my mind, it was funny. Like, here's the guy who ripped your heart out with one out to go last time you were in it. He's sitting in your dugout. And I know there's a part of Luis like saying, like, he doesn't want to be the dude that kept him from getting it.
Yeah.
Now that your teammate. So it's like, he's hoping that it gets done. Now he's off the hook. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore because he got it back in yesterday's game.
We were also talking about this. Like, go ahead.
They made a move today. I think there was a trade today. The Orioles acquired somebody. Let me pull it up in my notes.
Oh, the Orioles did. I know that Randy Arozarena is now a Mariner, so he's still out of the National League.
Oh, one of my favorite names in all of baseball, Sir Anthony Dominguez.
I know. And you've been trying to get people to call you Sir Anthony for a long time.
Yeah, no, it hasn't worked out the way I planned it. But yeah, he comes to the Orioles, him and Pache, the center fielder. They come from Philadelphia, and Philly gets Austin Hayes, one of the outfielders for Baltimore. So,
what do you think of this Randy Arozarena thing, though? Like, because I saw a tweet from someone who covers the Rays, and they're like, "I just don't get it. Why would you trade in division or in league to?" It's kind of crazy to me.
Why wouldn't you trade in league?
Because don't you usually try to get the good players into a different... Yeah, but they're going to have to face each other in the playoffs, possibly. And Randy Arozarena is an October king.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't know.
All right.
I'm not sure that any of that actually matters. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they were looking to move him regardless, so... How is it supposed to matter that they're in the division? I mean, Tampa's not really trying to go to the playoffs.
I guess that's true.
I mean, I know they're four games out, but that would signal to you that they're not really.
Yeah, they're
know,
sellers.
If they get
buyers.
In, they get in. If they don't, they don't. No, I don't know that they're necessarily sellers. They were. He was. Rosario was talked about at the very beginning of the season.
Okay.
Like, so.
So this has been maybe in the works for a little bit.
Yeah, probably. I don't know that it was necessarily with Seattle, but It seemed like that was something that they were thinking about doing all along.
Last thing I want to get your thoughts on before we get going to break is Garrett Crochet. The news came out yesterday that if he is traded, he wants an extension, and this is not my language, in order for him to pitch in October. He does not want to pitch out of the bullpen. So basically, Jeff Passan is saying, hey, this is going to take a lot of teams out of it because there's these stipulations that you have when you trade for Garrett Crochet now. And I know that he's just trying to protect himself, but it seems like that would be difficult for the White Sox to do.
To trade him with him
wanting an extension and to pitch in the playoffs, and he doesn't want to come out of the bullpen. So there's these like kind of
footnotes. Is his way of making it difficult because he doesn't want to leave Chicago.
Okay,
who knows? I don't know. I mean, obviously this is going to take some people off the board, but this is a play that he made. I mean, I would assume he kind of knew that.
Yeah.
That when his agent said whatever he said, maybe he wants to stay in Chicago. I mean, it seems like that's hard to believe, considering how much they're struggling, but I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Obviously, he's trying to protect himself, too. I mean, that's the obvious one, but, you know, this is his play. So it's not being forced on him. Nobody told him that he had to do this. So I guess if he's cool with it, I guess we should be too.
I just want him to perform well for my fantasy team down the stretch. That's all I care about, Tony. That's all I care about when it comes to Garrett Crochet.
I'm sure you and Chris both on that level right there.
Oh no, Chris would be like, no, I like you. I'm not a fantasy
Yo,
player.
Did you see they just gave Chris's quarterback all
I
that
did.
Money?
I did.
Wowzers.
Tua Tagovailoa has been signed to a 4-year, $212.4 million extension with $167 million guaranteed.
Yowzas.
Which, it's a lot of money, but that doesn't seem a lot of money for a starting quarterback. I mean, quarterbacks are making so much money these days. So much.
Well, he signed the extension, so he must be all right.
And Tyreek knew this was going to happen because Tyreek was like, I want Tua as my quarterback. Tyreek's working behind the scenes, too. So,
maybe anyway. So. All right, let's get to break.
I'm going to stay with everyone as Tony gets ready for the game, and then we have Dylan Cease ready to go, 2:40. Don't miss it, but when we get back, we're going to talk more Padres on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't let a clogged drain ruin your day.
Oh, no.
It's time for Gettle Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Gettle's expert plumbers will quickly diagnose and clear clogs in the blink of an eye with our $80 drain clearing service. Yay! Call Gettle 24/7. Because we do things the right way, not the easy way. Visit Gettle.com today. That's Goettl. Contractor license 1047781.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Matt Scraby here with you in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. We still have Dylan Cease to join the show. He's going to join the show at 2:40, so keep a lookout for that. We talked about his no-hitter, of course, and so Dylan Cease is probably at the end of a big tour of interviews, and we really appreciate him making time for us, even though he already came on the station with Sammy Love yesterday, but that'll be at 2:40. We have some news to talk about. The trades have been going crazy so far, and it seems like there are a lot of big names on the move. The first one was last night. Randy Arozarena was traded to the Mariners by the Rays. And we found our first fire seller of the year, and that would be the Tampa Bay Rays. They are seemingly trading everyone right now. And the Orioles, who the Padres are in town to play right now, made two of those trades. Well, they made two trades. They made one trade with the Rays, which would be they are acquiring the Orioles, a right-handed starter, Zach Eflin from the Rays. Tampa Bay is going to receive three minor leaguers in return for one of the top starters on the market. So Zach Eflin off the board. He's going to Baltimore. Also, they brought in Phillies reliever Sir Anthony Dominguez, the Orioles did. So they're bolstering their pitching staff right now. And I don't know that we're going to see Zach Eflin this weekend against the Padres. I don't think we would, but you never know. We could see Sir Anthony Dominguez against the Padres if all of that is official and ends up going through. But right now, the Rays are the ones that are selling everything, and it's kind of surprising to see it, really. Usually you see the Rays making smart moves to kind of bolster their team before the playoffs, but this time they decided it was time to restock the farm system, and, I mean, doesn't bother me. It's a team that the Padres play very rarely, and they're in the AL. But still, it's kind of a weird look to see, because you don't usually see that from the Rays. Rays are always doing moves and making moves and all that stuff. So it's not strange that they actually made the move. It's just strange that they are selling right now with Randy Arozarena going to Seattle. Seattle made another trade as well, so they're trying to get ahead here. And we were talking to RJ Anderson yesterday, and we asked him, like, when are things going to start picking up in the trade market for, you know, the trade deadline that's on Tuesday? He said, as we get closer. And I'm not saying that he was wrong or anything, but there are big trades being made today. So maybe we see a Padres trade sooner rather than later. You never know with AJ Preller, and we just talked about the Garrett Crochet thing. I know that Tony doesn't think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal that Garrett Crochet wants a new contract. I personally think that he should pay the White Sox to be shipped to somewhere with playoff chances. But I've never been really in on that trade anyway, just because of all the question marks that would come up from trading for Garrett Crochet. But the Padres are going to have to be active because there are, you know, the Diamondbacks made that trade last night for AJ Puck. And so they are bringing in guys. The National League West is going to be really, really competitive here down the stretch. And there's a lot of games against the National League West for the Padres. And it's going to determine basically the entire season, how they play right down the stretch. But the trade deadline is getting started early, and I love it. I think trade deadline time of year is in the top five sports times of the year. And it's just because of all the crazy stuff that happens. I love these last minute trades. I love all the movement that happens. And other sports, I'm not really into it. I don't know why. Like baseball, I'm really into the trade deadline. NBA, definitely not into the trading in the NBA because it seems like those guys get traded all the time. So it's hard to find out where they're going, hard to keep up what team these guys are on. But NFL doesn't really have trades. Hockey, I wouldn't even know what to think of a trade. But baseball trades are really awesome. And I cannot wait for this weekend to see what happens. And then on Tuesday, we're actually here on the station going to have a special trade deadline show for, starting at 2 p.m. or starting a little bit earlier. But at least for Gwen and Chris, we're going to be taking the trade deadline special show from 2 to 3:30. So the trade deadline is at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. We're going to be covering the trade deadline up to the second, basically, letting you know what happens. And if the Padres make any moves, of course, we will let you know. So trades are already starting. Joe Musgrove has spoken to media today, so we're going to hear from him in a little bit on that. Dylan Cease is going to be on the show at 2:40. And I just want to, before we head to break, because I want to make sure I'm on time for Dylan Cease. A lot of people want to hear it, so I want to make sure I'm not starting too late. But you want to hear how good the Padres' starting pitching is, or has been these last three games against the Nationals? Well, the Nationals only had 11 hits in the entire three games, which would be, you know, in Padres history, would be tied for second fewest hits ever by a Padres opponent in a three-game series. In 1969, the Astros only had 10 hits over a three-game series against the Padres. In 2017, the Cubs only had 11 hits against the Padres. And then 2024, Nationals, 11 hits against the Padres. So I always like to know historical notes like that because it really tells me when a pitching staff or any sport position, that is, that when they're breaking records, when they're tying records, when they're up near the top of records, that really tells you how special the starting pitching was for the Padres against the Nationals. Now, tonight, Adam Major starting for the Orioles. As you heard Tony say, what does it mean if you're mean to Adam Major? I just don't, I'm not ready to say the guy is garbage. It was the same thing last night with James Wood. I'm not going to say the guy is garbage. He's like 20 games into his major league career. But Adam Major is, you know, trying to find something that he can use at the major league level, because obviously he was a good minor league pitcher. He got the spot from the Padres because how well he was pitching in the minor leagues. Tonight, I just hope that he can keep the Padres in the game and he can go at least five innings. That's all I really care about. None of these bullpen days today. Like, he has to be able to keep guys off the base. He has to stop. Well, I don't think he's really walked as many guys in the last couple starts as he did earlier in the year, but Adam Major is going to have to keep the base pass clear. Defense is going to have to play clean. It's one of those games, to me at least, where I think they have to be perfect on defense and base running. I think they need to be perfect in those aspects because Adam Major in the past has shown that you can't really mess up even a little because the margin for error is so slim when Adam Major is on the mound or any pitcher that's not really a proven starting pitcher yet. The margin of error is so, so, so small. I mean, it's three runs could be it. But the Padres have been very good at limiting the damage as of late. And they're coming off of this no-hitter. And I was thinking on the drive down, does this pump up the team? Because I got to imagine this provides them with a little spark, a catalyst moment
for this team. This year, I think it was Ben and Woods the other day. They were talking about how this year for the Padres has already, even by the All-Star break, already been more exciting than last year was for the Padres. Last year, the Padres, slow burn. Just a slow burn of a season. It never really got any better. It just continued going the same way throughout the entire year. There is not much to look forward to. This year, yeah, it's been sort of a roller coaster at times, but they've also provided some pretty awesome moments. And that's the huge difference to me between this team and last year's team. And I got to imagine this is going to boost them. This has to. A no-hitter is a very rare thing for the Padres organization. The second no-hitter of all time for the Padres organization was thrown yesterday. I can only imagine this gives them energy. And they're going to need it going into Baltimore, playing a team that is first place in the AL East. They're playing, you know, goodish baseball. They struggled against the Marlins, but what team doesn't struggle here and there? Now they're back at home. I fully expect them to be the Orioles that we all know them to be. And the Padres are going to have to play a really good series. I also think there's a motivation factor because Manny Machado is going back to Baltimore. And Jackson Merrill is playing in Baltimore for the first time as a professional, his hometown. So this, there's a lot of different factors, I think, will provide this team with energy, and starting with that no-hitter that was thrown yesterday by Dylan Cease. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens this weekend. Really, really looking forward to it. All right, again, this is Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to be back with me for the Dylan Cease interview. We're only going till 3 o'clock-ish today because of the early start on the East Coast. So I'm going to head to break right now, and Dylan Cease is going to join us on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan. Just a couple minutes away from checking in with Dylan Cease after his first no-hitter thrown in his career. I was looking up his stats on the no-hitter side and like trying to figure out how many times he's been, you know, very close to having a no-hitter. And so I looked up every time that he has been in the seventh inning without a hit, and it was 6 times he was in the seventh inning without a hit. And then the other 2 times were the one time was against Luis Arraez, where the final out actually was a hit, so he didn't get it there, but he got it yesterday. Meaning, what I'm saying in a roundabout way is that Dylan Cease has been long overdue for a no-hitter, and we almost saw 2 no-hitters in 5 days. Michael King took one deep into the game on Sunday, and Dylan Cease completed it. So I'm still living off this no-hitter thing. It was awesome yesterday. That was really a good boost to my week. And it was a good boost to all Padres fans' weeks, I think, as well. So there you go. Again, we're just a couple minutes away from Dylan Cease. The chat is kind of feisty today, I got to say. I don't know what's going on. It's a Friday. Everybody can be happy. But the chat's a little feisty talking about the trade deadline stuff. The Padres, the more I think about it, the more I think that they are not going to trade for that big name. And I don't know who the big name is. But now with some guys coming off the board, Zach Eflin as a starter, you know, I think the Padres are going to go in the direction of trying to just fill the need that they actually need right now, instead of trying to maybe be too cute, I guess, is a weird way to put it. But trying to be too cute and bringing in guys with these contract, you know, these arbitration years, and maybe they don't actually fit with the team. But this year, I think they're going to bring in the not no-name players, but the players that are doing really well and just nobody really knows about it because they're on a terrible team. And you can go pluck those guys. But like I said, Garrett Crochet wants that contract extension. I think the Padres are going to be out on that. I don't think that they're going to go after Tarek Skubal because of the cost of Tarek Skubal. But this weekend is probably going to, we're not probably going to get more rumors. We are going to get more rumors. And so we will all cover it for you on Monday. After the Dylan Cease interview, I have some audio from Joe Musgrove to share. Joe Musgrove talked to the media about his return, so we'll hear from him on that. But right now, it is time for us to check in with the Padres pitcher who threw the no-hitter yesterday. Dylan Cease joins the show.
Joining us here on this Friar Friday, none other than Dylan Cease, coming off of the no-hitter in yesterday's ball game. First, Dylan, how Have you gotten any rest? I assume you got a lot of messages yesterday.
Yeah, I got. I'm still going through them, texts and social media and whatnot. Yeah, I got a little bit of rest. I went to sleep late last night. I've watched a lot of highlights and a lot of stuff pertaining to yesterday. It's still just so surreal to watch. But I'm a little tired today. But you know, I'm in a good mood, I must say.
I can imagine. Well, let's take us down into yesterday's start. I mean, over the last three, we could have very well had this same conversation the previous two starts. But at what point in yesterday's ball game did you start to feel like this could be something that, you know, could happen?
I think it gets very serious after seven. Before that, it's sort of like so much has to go right that I really don't worry about it too much. You know, at that point, it's like I'm just going to attack the zone. And, you know, if they put in play and they get a hit, then that's just part of the game. But, you know, I feel like after the seventh, it kind of turns into, you know, we're really trying to not give up a hit. So that's been my strategy for my last two attempts, at least.
We're talking to Dylan Cease, fresh off of a no-hitter yesterday against the Nationals. And, Dylan, there was a moment yesterday where I thought Mike Schilt was actually going to take you out of the game, but you seemingly talked him into letting you go back out there. Can you let us in on what you said to him to let him keep you out there?
Yeah, I said I feel strong. I'm throwing 100. We got the 6 days rest coming up. I did 113 earlier in the year. And then stuff like that where I was just trying to build a case. And then Joe and Crony were there and they kind of backed me up. So I think collectively we're all able to talk him into it. And thankfully he let me go back out there.
And so you have a relatively quick eighth inning. I mean, how good were you feeling going into that ninth inning in terms of stamina, mental? Where were you at in terms of how you felt?
Oh, I felt great. You know, at that point, it was just, is destiny going to be on my side or not? But I feel like I had, you know, I was in a very good position to do it.
We're talking to Dylan Cease here, and going back to the beginning of the game, Dylan, the rain delay kind of threw everything off a little bit, but there were questions as to whether or not you were even going to come out and start the game after that hour-plus delay. You did, and it was a very good decision. What were you thinking during that rain delay?
I don't know if I was thinking too much other than just kind of focused on how my body felt and like making sure I was moving every so once in a while and not going 20 or 30 minutes where I was just being sedentary. So, my main focus turned to basically either stretching or bike or light leg toss. And then once we found out kind of when the tarp was going to be moved and all that, I was able to sort of formulate a plan as to when I wanted to get off the indoor mound and throw maybe 20 pitches or so and just kind of get everything ramped up to high speed again.
Dylan Cease joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Dylan, as I mentioned, over the last three starts, you have been just phenomenal as it pertains to, you know, be it throwing the ball off the bump. You went through a little bit of a rough patch there, and it never seemed like you were throwing the ball all that bad. Sometimes it was just, you know, one or two bad pitches in an outing. But what has happened in these last three starts that has you so dialed in right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just the mechanical change I made where I'm keeping my glove closer to my body. And for whatever reason, I think it's harder for the batters to pick it up. And it's making me sync up to where I'm throwing harder and my stuff's sharp. And for the most part, I'm executing better just in general. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I was just, for 2 months, I was just trying to find it. And then finally we got it syncing up. And right now the results have been really good.
Yeah, they've been
fantastic so far, and as we're moving into the second half of the season, Dylan, obviously you guys aren't at 100% to this point. I mean, how important is it for this staff to, I don't know necessarily be able to go like they have the last couple times around, but how important is it for you guys to continue to throw the ball as well as you guys have?
Oh, it's extremely important. You know, I mean, it pretty much sets the tone If you have a series where your starters go deep and they dominate, it really is, you know, sets a tone, creates momentum, kind of creates an atmosphere, I feel like, to where, you know, everybody's just a little more locked in because they know it's within reach. Whereas, you know, maybe if you get down early and you get down 5 runs early, then it's you know, you're kind of fighting with your back against the wall. So, I mean, as starting pitchers, we know that our job is to take the ball and go as deep and effective as we can.
Talking to Dylan Cease here on 97.3 The Fan, and you just said you were making adjustments, you're holding your glove closer to you. I never really thought about, like, making adjustments during the season. I just think of a pitcher being able to just pitch, but how often are you making adjustments? Or is it just once you find something, you stick with it and hope it works for forever?
It's always changing in my experience. You can do one cue and it'll work, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you know, something else has to be done. But, I mean, hopefully this one's the one that lasts the rest of my career, but I've played long enough to know that's not usually how it works. But, no, I mean, I feel like in between every start, I'm working on something. You know, it could be something as simple as my previous start. I feel like I didn't get down the mound as well as I'd like to, so then I go and kind of work in the lower half, or, you know, maybe I felt like I was a little open or this or that, or my eyes were under the target, you know. I always trying to find little things to kind of refocus on.
Dylan, it certainly seems like you and Luis Camposano have been on the same page in these last three. Is there something to the fact that you guys seemingly are on the same page? You don't see too much shaking off while you've been on the mound over these last couple.
Yeah, I think I think he does a ton of work, ton of prep work. And, you know, I think as a whole, the staff has a really good idea of the best way to attack hitters. So when you kind of prepare and you know what you want to do, it turns into, you know, going out and taking action and doing it.
We're talking to Dylan Cease here, and you talked with our guy Sammy Lev yesterday after the game on the Padres postgame show, and you said that you, after it happened, you let out a primal yell, and then you yelled yes 50 times. I just want to go back to that moment. Is it like a moment that you can actually remember, or did you kind of black out a little bit?
No, I can remember it. It was just, you know, the middle of that pile, everyone's jumping, and yeah, it was just screaming yes. It was really hilarious. It was I don't know if it was just because the moment was so big and just so happy in that moment, but just seeing everyone smiling and screaming and yelling, and it was something I'll never forget.
Well, Dylan, certainly it was a you gave a lot of San Diegans some memories that they'll never forget, and congratulations on the no-hitter yesterday. Continued health and success moving forward, because you certainly have thrown the ball extremely well here as of late. Keep rolling, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Dylan Cease with Tony and I for Friar Friday. Thanks to Dylan for joining us. As I said earlier, he has had many, many, many interviews, so I appreciate him coming on the show. But number one, now I could kind of see why he was able to throw the no-hitter yesterday, because it doesn't seem like his pulse gets up there. He seems like a really cool, calm, collected guy, and I think you need that as a part of a no-hitter, because I know if I were pitching, which I would never be, obviously, but if I were, I would be so up in my head and trying to not mess up that I would mess up. But Dylan Cease, obviously, very professional pitcher here, and I'm so happy that he's with the Padres. I mean, I can remember when Chris first brought him up years ago, like 2021, brought up Dylan Cease as like a guy to watch. And then as we watched him, he kept getting better and better. I just never thought he would be a Padre, and now he is. And now he's thrown a no-hitter. And I saw a really funny tweet by a couple people yesterday about how now Dylan Cease is going to have a lifetime of like local San Diego ads that he can do, because he's in history now. There's only been two of them in Padres history, and one of them came in 2021. So you got to feel good if you're a Padres fan. You get two in 4 years or 3 years. That's pretty awesome. I mean, 50-something years before that, there were no hitters for the Padres, and now they're seemingly coming in bunches. And speaking of the no-hitter pitchers for the Padres, Joe Musgrove, who obviously threw the first no-hitter in Padres history, he spoke with the media earlier today, and
We've been waiting for Joe to come back because we know that the Padres need an additional arm in the rotation, but we also know that Joe's return to the rotation is going to be a little bit slow because he wants to make sure everything's ready to go. So he met with media today, and he discussed what next steps are for him and how next steps may happen.
Do you know what your next step is?
I'm not sure yet. It's either going to be a rehab start somewhere or maybe go to Arizona and throw, like a put-together simulated game or something, but probably looking at, 1 to 2 innings, 25 to 35 pitches, and as far as where that is, I don't know yet, but I'm hoping that's going to be the next step.
Early next week?
As soon as Tuesday. No games Monday in the minor league, so we could always do one in Arizona, but I think they're going to give me that extra day and then throw on Tuesday, so probably another bullpen here tomorrow or Sunday, and then Tuesday hopefully get in the game.
Generally, how you feel as far as your ability to extend, let it go, where your head is with
coming? Yeah, I feel a lot better now than I did even a couple weeks ago. Taking as much time off as I did from throwing 2.5 weeks or so, you go through aches and pains of getting back into throwing and building things back up. Kind of sat in that space for like a week or so, and over the last couple days I've been recovering a little better. I've added more intensity and been recovering better than I was when I was at lower intensity, so I think it's all good signs. Mentally I feel good, I feel fresh. I mean, a long time away from competing in the game, I've stayed very involved in the meetings and tried to contribute as much as I can, but ultimately it's not the same as getting out there and playing. So I'm anxious, I'm excited to be one step closer to being back here, but I think it'll feel good to be able to get in the game and compete a little bit and face some hitters.
So that's a pretty good news for Padres fans out there and for Joe Musgrove himself. It looks like he's going to be coming back sooner rather than later, and that would be huge for this rotation. They wouldn't even he would have to come back, and they would have to know that he's feeling really healthy before they, say didn't trade for a starter or anything like that. But getting Joe Musgrove back with 2 months to go in the season, or a month and a half, whenever he gets back to the major league level, that would be massive for the Padres. And this is just my opinion, and I know that people are frustrated with Joe Musgrove, and I know that people are frustrated with him because of signing the contract and then getting injured. It's not his fault he's injured. I guarantee you, if Joe Musgrove could be out in that field pitching, he would be out in that field pitching. But it's, if he comes back and he helps the Padres win, they get into the playoffs, I think that Joe Musgrove has done his job. I am willing to look past the first part of the season because it doesn't matter at the point at the end of the season where they're either in the playoffs or they're not in the playoffs. I mean, I think that Joe Musgrove will be able to be a guy who's just he's going to add a huge boost right away for this team, and other teams don't really have that. It was like a couple years ago last year when we were talking about Fernando. He's gonna come back like 20 games into the season or whatever, and not that that's like a lot of games that he didn't play, but at the same time he was fresh, and it was good for the Padres to have him fresh in a 3 weeks into the season or whatever, when guys are starting to get a little sore and all that. It would be no different for Joe Musgrove if he were able to come back and pitch well for the Padres here down the stretch. I mean, it sounds confident. He sounds confident, and I believe what Joe Musgrove tells us. I don't think he's pulling any wool over our eyes, but there you go. He said that he is looking forward to getting back out in the field, and he could be pitching as soon as next week. He also was asked about watching Dylan Cease's no-hitter. So here's what he had to say about that.
Having been in Dylan Cease's shoes, what was it like from the bench side watching this whole experience?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. See a lot of similar things that I feel like I was going through, whether he was showing it or not. I feel like I can read it on him. Partially, it's probably me trying to, put my feelings into him and assume that he's feeling the way I
do. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Joining us here on this Friar Friday, none other than Dylan Cease, coming off of the no-hitter in yesterday's ball game. First, Dylan, how have you gotten any rest? I assume you got a lot of messages yesterday.
Yeah, I got. I'm still going through them, texts and social media and whatnot. I got a little bit of rest. I went to sleep late last night. I've watched a lot of highlights and a lot of stuff pertaining to yesterday. It's still just so surreal to watch, but I'm a little tired today, but you know, I'm in a good mood, I must say.
I can imagine. Well, let's take us down into yesterday's start. I mean, over the last three, we could have very well had this same conversation the previous two starts, but at what point in yesterday's ball game did you start to feel like this could be something that, you know, could happen?
I think it gets very serious after seven. Before that, it's sort of like so much has to go right that I really don't worry about it too much. You know, at that point, it's like I'm just going to attack the zone. And, you know, if they put it in play and they get a hit, then that's just part of the game. But, you know, I feel like after the seventh, it kind of turns into, you know, we're really trying to not give up a hit. So that's been my strategy for my last two attempts, at least.
Talking to Dylan Cease, fresh off of a no-hitter yesterday against the Nationals. And Dylan, there was a moment yesterday where I thought Mike Schilt was actually going to take you out of the game, but you seemingly talked him into letting you go back out there. Can you let us in on what you said to him to let him keep you out there?
Yeah, I said I feel strong. I'm throwing 100. We got 6 days rest coming up. I did 113 earlier in the year. And then I just stuff like that where I was trying to build a case. and then Joe and Crony were there, and they kind of backed me up. So I think collectively we're all able to talk him into it, and thankfully he let me go back out there.
And so you have a relatively quick eighth inning. I mean, how good were you feeling going into that ninth inning in terms of stamina, mental? Where were you at in terms of how you felt?
Oh, I felt great. You know, at that point it was just, is destiny going to be on my side or not? But I feel like I had, you know, I was in a very good position to do it.
We're talking to Dylan Cease here, and going back to the beginning of the game, Dylan, the rain delay kind of threw everything off a little bit, but there were questions as to whether or not you were even going to come out and start the game after that hour-plus delay. You did, and it was a very good decision. What were you thinking during that rain delay?
I don't know if I was thinking too much other than just kind of focused on how my body felt and, like, making sure I was moving every so once in a while and not going 20 or 30 minutes where I was just being sedentary. So my main focus turned to basically either stretching or bike or light leg toss. And then once we found out kind of when the tarp was going to be moved and all that, I was able to sort of formulate a plan as to when I wanted to get off the indoor mound and throw maybe 20 pitches or so and just kind of get everything ramped up to high speed again.
Dylan Cease joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Dylan, as I mentioned, over the last three starts, you have been just phenomenal as it pertains to, you know, be it throwing the ball off the bump. You went through a little bit of a rough patch there, and it never seemed like you were throwing the ball all that bad. Sometimes it was just, you know, one or two bad pitches in an outing. But what has happened in these last three starts that has you so dialed in right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just a mechanical change I made where I'm keeping my glove closer to my body. And for whatever reason, I think it's harder for the batters to pick it up. And it's making me sync up to where I'm throwing harder and my stuff's sharp. And for the most part, I'm executing better just in general. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I was just, for like 2 months, I was just trying to find it. And then, finally we got it syncing up. And right now the results have been really good.
Yeah,
they've been fantastic so far, and as we're moving into the second half of the season, Dylan, obviously you guys aren't at 100% to this point. I mean, how important is it for this staff to, I don't know necessarily be able to go this like they have the last couple times around, but how important is it for you guys to continue to throw the ball as well as you guys have?
Oh, it's extremely important. You know, I mean, it pretty much sets the tone. If you have a series where your starters go deep and they dominate, it really is, you know, sets a tone, creates momentum, kind of creates an atmosphere, I feel like, to where, you know, everybody's just a little more locked in because they know it's within reach. Whereas, you know, maybe if you get down early and you get down five runs early, then it's, you know, you're kind of fighting with your back against the wall. So, I mean, as starting pitchers, we know that our job is to take the ball and go as deep and effective as we can.
Talking to Dylan Cease here on 97.3 The Fan, and you just said you were making adjustments, you're holding your glove closer to you. I never really thought about, like, making adjustments during the season. I just think of a pitcher being able to just pitch, but how often are you making adjustments? Or is it just once you find something, you stick with it and hope it works forever?
It's always changing in my experience. You can do one cue and it'll work, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you know, something else has to be done. But, I mean, hopefully this one's the one that lasts the rest of my career, but I've played long enough to know that's not usually how it works. But, no, I mean, I feel like in between every start, I'm working on something. You know, it could be something as simple as my previous start. I feel like I didn't get down the mound as well as I'd like to, so then I go and kind of work in the lower half, or, you know, maybe I felt like I was a little open or this or that, or my eyes were into the target. You know, I always trying to find little things to kind of refocus on.
Dylan, it certainly seems like you and Luis Camposano have been on the same page in these last three. Is there something to the fact that you guys seemingly are on the same page? You don't see too much shaking off while you've been on the mound over these last couple.
Yeah, I think, I think he does a ton of work, ton of prep work. And, I think as a whole, the staff has a really good idea of the best way to attack hitters. So when you kind of prepare and you know what you want to do, it turns into, going out and taking action and doing it.
We're talking to Dylan Cease here, and you talked with our guy Sammy Lev yesterday after the game on the Padres postgame show, and you said that you, after it happened, you let out a primal yell, and then you yelled yes 50 times. I just want to go back to that moment. Is it like a moment that you can actually remember, or did you kind of black out a little bit?
No, I can remember it. It was just, the middle of that pile, everyone's jumping, and yeah, it was just screaming yes. It was really hilarious. It was I don't know if it was just because the moment was so big and just so happy in that moment, but just seeing everyone smiling and screaming and yelling, and it was something I'll never forget.
Well, Dylan, certainly it was a you gave a lot of San Diegans some memories that they'll never forget, and congratulations on the no-hitter yesterday. Continued health and success moving forward, because you certainly have thrown the ball extremely well here as of late. Keep rolling, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Dylan Cease with Tony and I for Friar Friday. Thanks to Dylan for joining us. As I said earlier, he has had many, many, many interviews, so I appreciate him coming on the show. But number one, now I could kind of see why he was able to throw the no-hitter yesterday, because it doesn't seem like his pulse gets up there. He seems like a really cool, calm, collected guy, and I think you need that as a part of a no-hitter, because I know if I were pitching, which I would never be, obviously, but if I were, I would be so up in my head and trying to not mess up that I would mess up. But Dylan Cease, obviously, very professional pitcher here, and I'm so happy that he's with the Padres. I mean, I can remember when Chris first brought him up years ago, like 2021, brought up Dylan Cease as like a guy to watch. And then as we watched him, he kept getting better and better. I just never thought he would be a Padre, and now he is. And now he's thrown a no-hitter. And I saw a really funny tweet by a couple people yesterday about how now Dylan Cease is going to have a lifetime of like local San Diego ads that he can do, because he's in history now. There's only been two of them in Padres history, and one of them came in 2021. So you got to feel good if you're a Padres fan. You get two in 4 years or 3 years. That's pretty awesome. I mean, 50-something years before that, there were no hitters for the Padres, and now they're seemingly coming in bunches. And speaking of the no-hitter pitchers for the Padres, Joe Musgrove, who obviously threw the first no-hitter in Padres history, he spoke with the media earlier today, and we've been waiting for Joe to come back because we know that the Padres need an additional arm in the rotation, but we also know that Joe's return to the rotation is going to be a little bit slow because he wants to make sure everything's ready to go. So he met with media today, and he discussed what next steps are for him and how next steps may happen.
Do you know what your next step is?
I'm not sure yet. It's either going to be a rehab start somewhere, or maybe go to Arizona and throw, like a put-together simulated game or something, but probably looking at, 1 to 2 innings, 25 to 35 pitches, and as far as where that is, I don't know yet, but I'm hoping that's going to be the next step.
Early next week?
As soon as Tuesday. No games Monday in the minor league, so we could always do one in Arizona, but I think they're going to give me that extra day and then throw on Tuesday, so probably another bullpen here tomorrow or Sunday, and then Tuesday hopefully get in the game.
Generally, how you feel as far as your ability to extend, let it go, where your head is with
comfort? Yeah, I feel a lot better now than I did even, a couple weeks ago. Taking as much time off as I did from throwing, 2.5 weeks or so. You go through aches and pains of getting back into throwing and building things back up. Kind of sat in that space for like a week or so, and over the last couple days I've been recovering a little better. I've added more intensity and been recovering better than I was when I was at lower intensity, so I think it's all good signs. Mentally I feel good, I feel fresh. I mean, a long time away from competing in the game, I've stayed very involved in the meetings and tried to contribute as much as I can, but ultimately it's not the same as getting out there and playing. So I'm anxious, I'm excited to be one step closer to being back here, but I think it'll feel good to be able to get in the game and compete a little bit and face some hitters.
So that's a pretty good news for Padres fans out there and for Joe Musgrove himself. It looks like he's going to be coming back sooner rather than later, and that would be huge for this rotation. They wouldn't even maybe even, I mean, he would have to come back, and they would have to know that he's feeling really healthy before they, you know, say didn't trade for a starter or anything like that. But getting Joe Musgrove back with 2 months to go in the season, or a month and a half, whenever he gets back to the major league level, that would be massive for the Padres. And I don't, this is just my opinion, and I know that people are frustrated with Joe Musgrove, and I know that people are frustrated with him because of you know, signing the contract and then getting injured. It's not his fault he's injured. I guarantee you, if Joe Musgrove could be out in that field pitching, he would be out in that field pitching. But it's, if he comes back and he helps the Padres win, they get into the playoffs, you know, I think that Joe Musgrove has done his job. I am willing to look past the first part of the season, because it doesn't matter at the point at the end of the season where they're either in the playoffs or they're not in the playoffs. I mean, I think that Joe Musgrove will be able to be a guy who's just, he's going to add a huge boost right away for this team. And other teams don't really have that. It was like a couple years ago last year when we were talking about Fernando. He's going to come back like 20 games into the season or whatever. And not that that's like a lot of games that he didn't play, but at the same time, he was fresh, and it was good for the Padres to have him fresh in a, you know, 3 weeks into the season or whatever, when guys are starting to get a little sore and all that. It would be no different for Joe Musgrove if he were able to come back and pitch well for the Padres here down the stretch. I mean, it sounds confident. He sounds confident, and I believe what Joe Musgrove tells us. I don't think he's pulling any wool over our eyes, but there you go. He said that he is looking forward to getting back out in the field, and he could be pitching as soon as next week. He also was asked about watching Dylan Cease's no-hitter. So here's what he had to say about that.
Having been in Dylan Cease's shoes, what was it like from the bench side watching this whole experience?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. To see a lot of similar things that I feel like I was going through, whether he was showing it or not. I feel like I can read it on him. Partially, it's probably me trying to, you know, put my feelings into him and assume that he's feeling the way I did about it. He seemed a little more in control of his emotions and stuff than I was. But yeah, I sat down there the last couple innings with him and King, and I think we were just trying to be a little bit of relief for him, to have someone to talk to if he wanted to bounce ideas about, you know, pitch selection or health or managing those last couple innings when you're that close. I was just kind of trying to be available, but, you know, not get in his way and not disrupt anything. But super excited for him, man. I mean, it's a very rare club to get into. It's extremely hard to get 27 outs on your own, and I know you need a lot of help from your position players, and it always comes down to, you know, one or two plays that get made that save the game. And, you know, we had a little bit of that. We had, you know, spurts of dominance as far as just overpowering some hitters. You know, a few mislocated pitches that you get away with. It's, you know, a combination of so many different things that, you know, lead to that moment. But I was telling some of the guys, we had a big dinner last night and got some drinks and celebrated, and I was telling some of the guys, I don't even think he's going to realize, you know, the impact that outing has on the city of San Diego and on his career. And I'm sure, you know, once the season winds down and he has a chance to, you know, really sit down and think back and reflect on it, it's going to be going to feel a lot more special when you have a chance to let yourself emotionally just let go and, you know, kind of absorb all that stuff. So it is a difficult spot. I mean, you accomplish something like that, and the celebration, you know, from his end probably feels like something like a World Series celebration. So, you know, him those last three outings kind of creeping his way back into the Cy Young conversation, and, you know, looking at where we're at as a team and what the ultimate goal is, there's a lot still to accomplish. So it's hard to move past that when, and I understand it's your guys' job, but when media is asking questions and the fans every time they see him want to talk about it and everyone wants the stories, and it's very hard to move past that and refocus back on, you know, the task at hand. But that's why I think when he has the offseason, he can, you know, mentally and emotionally let himself go and let his guard down and just, you know, sit back and reflect. I think he's going to, you know, be really happy.
So there you go, Joe Musgrove reflecting on Dylan Cease's no-hitter. It didn't even occur to me. I guess we talked about it earlier in the year, but Joe Musgrove said there's still a Cy Young possibly for Dylan Cease to win. If he continues to pitch like this, there could be another Cy Young in the Padres' future. I mean, he's been incredible over the past three games. One of the best stretches in Major League history over the past three games. And if he continues to do this, I think that he could win Cy Young. And that would be back-to-back Padres winning the Cy Young. What are the odds of that? I mean, if someone would have made a bet with me years ago, I would have said, no way would that happen. But there is certainly a possibility of that happening. Let's stop real quick and pause for station identification. I just want to let everybody know that Sammy Levitt is going to be in here shortly to... let me just read the read, because I was trying to be cool and try to get into it all nice and smooth, and I didn't. So a reminder to stay tuned for the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan. He's a little perturbed that I used the Joe Musgrove audio when I did. I was not aware that he was going to be using the Joe Musgrove audio. He's a little perturbed. He's not mad or anything like that. But so when he plays the Joe Musgrove audio, please tell him how great he is for playing that audio, because I really want him to feel good. I mean, come on. Sammy Lev is our Padres pre and post game host, and he does a really good job. So round of applause for Sammy Levitt when he plays that Joe Musgrove audio. I don't know if he can hear me or not, but I believe he can hear me. No one's really reacting to me in the hallway, so I'm not sure. I think he might be. I don't know. We are coming up on the end of the show. We'll have everything up on 97.3thefansd.com in just a little bit. You can go to the Twitter as well. We're going to be YouTube. We'll have the Dylan Cease interview. But short show for us. Back on Monday. Appreciate everybody being here this week. We will talk to you then. Also, go Padres. They got a big series against the Orioles this weekend and should be fun. So be safe, everyone. Sammy Levitt coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.